Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
It took a lifetime to find the person you want to marry. Finding the perfect engagement ring is a lot easier. At BlueNile.com, you can find or design the ring you've always dreamed of with help from Blue Nile's jewelry experts, who are on hand 24/7 to answer questions, and the ease and convenience of shopping online. For a limited time, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com.
And welcome, everybody, to today's exciting episode.
Plenty in the tank. Simply, simply lovely.
Now, that one I know. I haven't heard that in years. It's got to be.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Definitely. I think plenty of us are going to know that one.
Mainly our male audience, I imagine.
Yeah, probably. That's brought up back some memories, that, hasn't it?
Yeah. Terrifying and enjoyable memories.
Yes. Yeah, both, I think. Yeah. It was quite disgusting at times.
Yes. Yeah. Not great.
Really didn't really need reminding about it, but let's just move straight ahead, shall we?
Yeah.
And today's topic, I hear you ask.
Yeah. What are we doing today, Pirate?
Well, today is a subject that we have been asked for several times.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. It is one that I already had on the list anyway. I'll tell the story of why we haven't done it up to now as we go.
Okay. But
the story of John Titor. The world's worst time traveler.
I think I've seen the film.
John Titor. Is there a film?
Yeah, John Titor Must Die, I'm sure. No, that was John
Titor.
That's John Tucker Must Die.
John Tucker Must Die.
What a great film.
Right. Well, John Titor, let's go back to about year 2000.
Oh, okay. Early days of the internet.
Very early days of the internet. And on a internet forum, I'll say, this person showed up under the username timetraveler_0, claiming that he was from the year 2036.
That's not too far away.
Not too far in the future. He would already be alive now, today.
Yeah.
If this person exists. And he was sent in the military. The military developed time travel machine. Built it into a 1966 Chevrolet Corvette and sent him back to 1975 to get some parts, like the motherboard or something, from an IBM 5100 computer and return it to 2036. I don't know why. I don't know if it actually goes into on these forums, on if you read about the story of John Titor, if he tells you why. But that was his mission.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
Yeah?
Yeah.
As a kind of a personal side mission, he decided to stop off in the year 2000.
Okay.
Bearing in mind, I think he was born in 1998, or so he claimed, and he wanted to collect some old photos that he hadn't got anymore, and just, you know, it was a personal mission to, like, I guess maybe see his family or something like that.
So he was like 2-3 years old at that, in that year.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
And while he was in the year 2000, from 2000 to 2001, he made multiple posts on this forum. It was Art Bell Point to Point, American website. Because Art Bell, I think, was
Sounds
a guy
familiar.
That had a radio show.
Okay.
In America,
right.
Massive radio show.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was one of the first people to have one of these internet forums where people could come along and discuss things, and like he'd ask people from the forums to come on the radio show and that, like, and tell their stories and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so this what I'd like to say, he started off posting his name as Time Traveler _0, and then changed his name to John Titor, TITOR. Because of the restrictions of the website, said you had to have like a username.
Okay.
And I've got some notes here on my phone. It is in flight mode, so it's not going to impact us too much. So here an extract from Wikipedia. I'm going to start with Wikipedia. Right, John Titor and Time Traveler _0 are pseudonyms used on internet forums between 2000 and 2001 by an individual claiming to be an American military time traveler from the year 2036. Their posts discussed various aspects of time travel, described future calamitous events, including a global nuclear war. The uniform inaccuracy of their predictions and inconsistencies in their explanations has led many to view the story with skepticism. This is me.
Right.
All right, because when I first heard this story, I was like, it kind of breaks the rules of time travel.
Mm.
Like, how could the military send someone back that was so irresponsible that they would then go onto the internet of all places and go, I'm a time traveler from 2036. Look at all this stuff that's going to happen. Now, he started predicting like this civil war in America that was going to start in 2005 and erupt into like a new World War III that would end in 2015.
Oh, right.
Yeah, do you remember that happening?
Yeah. We're all ghosts.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the thing, though. Because John Titor explained that, obviously, him stopping here and telling us about these events would change his own timeline. Yeah?
Yeah, it's like butterfly effect.
Yeah. He's not going to get back to the exact timeline that he left from, which makes his claims unfalsifiable. You can't debunk it because all he's got to do is say, different timeline.
You know,
that's the argument.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have gone down some serious rabbit holes on this. Like I said, we've had several requests. One guy who keeps coming up on our podcast, Clive Potter.
Yep.
He's a big believer in John Titor.
Okay.
And he actually recommended to me that we speak to this guy from America who calls himself Temporal Recon.
Yes.
You remember I told you about him?
He was very mysterious.
Yeah. Wants to stay incognito, wouldn't, you know. And I did send him an email asking him if he wanted to come on the show and, you know, present his case, present what information he knows about John Titor. And he said, no, I don't want to come on your show. But, you know, if you want, you can ask me questions and I'll answer them, and then you can relay that on your show between you and Josh however you want, whether one of you asks the questions and one of you does the responses, or what, this sort of thing.
That'd be hard to work out, though, wouldn't it? It'd be, I think the listeners would probably get a bit bored of that.
To be honest, I weren't up for it.
Yeah.
Because it would take months. It's going to take ages, me sending him question after question. And to be honest, I didn't want to spend months getting emails from this guy. He kind of talked in riddles.
Right, yeah, okay.
You know?
Mysterious again, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We didn't want to show his face. Didn't want to come on the podcast. And I was like, nah.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, so sorry, Clive. That was kind of my decision. I chose not to run with him. But then, as I was going through my research, because obviously in 2001, John Titor stopped posting.
So he lasted like a year?
Yeah, yeah, just over a year, I think it was. He was actually posting on these forums, and then it stopped. And then in 2003, someone mysteriously launched the John Titor Foundation, where they'd gathered all of his posts and collaborated it all and started trying to filter through what John Titor was saying. And then there was actually a book that was released about John Titor and sort of celebrating him, I guess, almost as though he was like another prophet or something.
But he's not done anything.
No. And everything that he has done, he's got wrong.
All of his predictions were wrong. Has he got anything right?
Not as far as I know.
Wow.
No. And he does describe how the time machine works. Let me just find that.
Is it going to be quantum physics again?
It's... right, okay. So...
this is going to melt my brain, isn't it?
Is the earliest post detailing the components of the machine said it housed two magnetic housing units for the dual micro singularities. Don't even get me started on these, right? An electron injection manifold to alter mass and gravity of the micro singularities. Again, I'm kind of, dual micro singularity. You know, I have no idea how much that annoys me.
No, you might as well be speaking Swahili to me.
Basically saying he's got two black holes that power his time machine.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? And the incredible amount of energy that it would create, that it would take to create just one black hole.
But he's got two in his Chevrolet.
He's got two, yeah, housed in some kind of magnetic unit in his Corvette.
Corvette, that was it.
Yeah.
Right.
An electron injection manifold to alter mass and gravity of the micro singularities, a cooling and X-ray venting system, gravity sensors or variable gravity lock, four main cesium clocks, and three main computer units. And like I said, that was in a 1966 Chevrolet Corvette. Later posts mentioned a 1987 truck with four-wheel drive. Although why you'd take a 1987 truck back to 1975 to get an IBM 5100 computer, I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, that would raise some
questions. So you can see
there's
a hell of a lot of inconsistencies here. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
It is supposed that this book and these posts, obviously, because a lot of people think this is a hoax. A lot of people think it's real.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. Honestly, people are going to go down a massive rabbit hole, literally end up, don't know which way to turn. That was the last email we got was like, please do John Titor, because I've been down a black hole on it, like a proper rabbit hole, and I've come out the other end and I still don't know what to believe.
But I don't understand, right? How can you say I don't know what to believe? Because just my two cents on it, everyone says that Matt Groening from The Simpsons is a time traveler.
Yeah.
Because he's got 90% of his predictions and episodes right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If someone's been around for just over a year and they've got everything wrong, I don't understand how you can look at that and get and think he's a prophet and go along with it.
Because we're on a different timeline now.
Oh, no. All right, carry on. No.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, obviously, a lot of people feel, obviously, that it was just a hoax or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And someone researched it and found that it was quite possibly the work of an entertainment lawyer and his brother. The entertainment lawyer was Larry Haber. I think his brother was John Haber, I think. He was a computer scientist.
Yeah.
So they were the ones that were supposed to have created this hoax. But then, as I carry on my research, a name jumped out at me that I recognised.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to recognise it too. Do you remember the Ong's Hat episode?
How could I forget? I
think we called it "These Scientists Ripped a Hole in Reality from a Cabin in the
with
Woods."
With the egg and...
Yeah.
No, great story. I love that.
Brilliant story, brilliant creation. And it was made up by one Joseph Matheny.
Oh, yeah. He was the one that I said, that's a great prank, and he's my kind of guy.
Yeah. So he showed up as a consultant on this. Right at the bottom of the Wikipedia, where you go to like other external links or you know other mentions or whatever, it comes up saying that he was a consultant, possibly for Larry Haber and his brother. He didn't actually create this story, but he consulted on it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's...
But the Ong's Hat episode, he said, I created it, or did I?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he did.
Right, okay. So he's now involved with...
So, yeah, apparently he is now, and it's documented even on Wikipedia, that he was involved being a consultant. It's not his story, it's not his case, but he was involved with it as sort of one of the people that came up with it.
Okay.
And since we've already done an episode on Joseph Matheny, and he seemed to like it because he shared it on his website.
Yes.
He actually shared our podcast on his own website, josephmatheny.com. Go there and check it out yourself if you want to. So I thought, you know, why not ask him?
Right.
So I went to josephmatheny.com, and there is a contact section where you fill out your details and ask him a question. So I said, you know, thanks for sharing our last podcast. I'm doing one on John Titor. And your name's come up as a consultant. Is this correct? Were you one of the first people that created it? And he said, yeah, I was. Yeah.
Nice.
And I was like, all right. So who was the rest of the crew? Was it Larry Haber and his brother? And he went, it wasn't.
So he's being mysterious.
So now he was being a bit mysterious. And I was like, okay, no problem. Well, you've given me, you know, some information there. That's great. Thank you very much. And I was going to leave it at that. And I thought, well, I'm just going to push it one more time. So I sent him one more email going, thanks for all you've given me so far. But, the only problem is you're kind of baiting me there. You told me who it isn't, but you're not telling me who it is. And then he kind of changed his mind. He was like, all right, go on then. Let's actually talk about this. Can we make a call and I can, you know, actually speak to you? And but at this point, it was nearly 12 o'clock at night here in the UK, and he's obviously over in California, so it would have been like 4 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever. And I was like, not right now, I've got to get to bed, but can we set it up? So we did, and I've had a chat with him. I've recorded it.
Nice.
Would you like to see it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah? Okay, so for you and everybody at home, this is what Joseph Matheny had to say.
That should work. Good. Okay. So we're doing this as an interview now?
I wanted to keep it casual, but if you don't mind me sharing it on the podcast.
Sure. I mean, I don't have a whole lot to add to what I already told you, but I could tell from your response that you didn't really either believe me or understand what I was saying. So I just wanted to clarify what I said. Because you're baiting me, and I'm like, dude, I'm not doing anything. I'm just telling you what happened. Okay, I'm not playing games. I'm not trying to be mysterious. This is like a 20-year-old piece of bullshit that happened. And I came out 10 years ago, probably 10 years ago now, just to let people know that some of the people I saw online taking this way too seriously, because they were like, John said this is going to happen in 2020. I'm like, John was a fictional character, you morons. Like, can you not get that? And, you know, Mary Haber probably was the guy that picked it up. I think probably. I don't know. I mean, I haven't done a deep dive on this, so I don't know, for sure. But I don't have any reason to not believe that, you know. But I know that I had some friends. They started a project. They brought me in. We dumped it around 2001, I think, because after 9/11, all that kind of stuff got kind of creepy to be doing. And I had stopped doing Ong's Hat and all of it, just like, ugh. And, and then I saw, like, a friend of mine, or a former friend of mine, fell down a conspiracy rabbit hole. And she started telling me all this stuff that was being said in the conspiracy community about John. And that people were taking his, you know, I guess they weren't prophecies, because he was saying, I saw this happen because I was in the future. And then people were like treating him like religiously, like prophecy or something, like, we got to be ready for this because John said it's going to happen. I'm like, oh, no. I'm not going to have any part of this. So I went to my friends and I said, I want to come out and say that, you know, that this was a project, that this was an art project. And they're all people that are like in the entertainment industry, they're professionals. And they're like, I don't want my name involved. And I'm like, okay, fine. And then I said what I said. And then I kind of wish I hadn't now, because instantly I was attacked mostly by people that were like considered themselves like debunkers of the John Peter thing. And so they said that I was a pathological liar because I had nothing to do with it. And I'm like, Larry Haber probably is the guy that you nailed. That's fine. But I'm saying that he wasn't the one that started it. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's fine.
And they just like,
Can I just, all right, first of all,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'd like to apologize for using the term baited in my email. Because obviously, yeah, I presented you with the name Larry Haber that I've come up with from my research. And you said you didn't know. Fair enough. I did push you to see who it was instead of that you'd started it with. That's the main reason for this call. If you're protecting identities, that's fine. I'm not going to push you for like information that you don't want to give.
Well, these are people that have families, they have homes, they have, you know, like that, and they saw what happened to me with Ong's Hat when I came out and said, some of you people really need to realize that this is a game, you know, and it went really bad for me. Like for years, I was like viciously stalked. I didn't want to like hand that off to somebody else and be like, oh, I'm going to throw you under the bus. Cause you know, like all of this was done in innocence, right? Nobody was working for the CIA. Nobody was laughing at everybody going, what, ha ha ha, we're fooling them. It's like, we're doing this art project. We didn't think anybody would actually believe it, you know, but they did. Like 10 years later, I'm watching this online. And I have a friend, like I said, I had a friend who, you know, when I first met her, she wasn't in the conspiracy rabbit hole, but over the years she fell down it. And then she started telling me like, you know, like she's telling me all this stuff about John Teeter. And I said, I almost said her name. Like I said, you know that this was the project, right? She's like, well, how do you know? I'm like, because I was involved. I know because I was one of the people that wrote some of the stuff that was said. And she said, and then like I did an interview with her and she still like didn't get it. She's like, oh, he's protecting the identity, or like she had every kind of, you know, explanation except for like what I was saying was like factually correct and true. And then I was being literal and not trying to be metaphorical or, you know. And so like, you know, I kind of sat back and I'm like, I can't be a part of this happening. I can't let this happen. So anyway, I didn't mean to come off as like, you know, making a run at you, but the last 2023 was a bad year for me, where I had a lot of people running at me with bullshit. And so I just like, I just can't take it anymore. That's why I don't do interviews anymore.
No, that's absolutely fine. And like I say, I'm recording this, but if you don't want me to air it, that's fine.
I think I'm okay with it because I haven't said anything that I wouldn't want to say publicly that I haven't already said publicly.
Yeah, of course. Because, like, obviously, I covered your Ong's Hat story last year, and you kindly shared it on your website, and thank you for that. Mm-hmm. We found that with our listeners, they were quite polarized with that story. Some of them still believed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just from our telling of it, and I'm fairly sure I made it quite clear that, you know, it was kind of made up.
No, you did, or I wouldn't have shared it on my website.
I still left it open for people to believe what they want.
Well, I mean, that. But see, all you when you do that, all you're doing is participating in the kayfabe, right? And that's okay. I'm okay with that. If somewhere along the line you make sure that, like, you're saying that there's this fictional story and this guy did it, and then people started to believe it, and then if you want to end it with like, but maybe it's all true, I'm fine with that. You know, it's like, then you're just having fun with it the same way I was trying to have fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. But then obviously,
but as you find out, there are people that like still demand on believing it.
Oh, absolutely. And like one of the reasons why I'm now covering the John Titor story is because we've got fans that have sort of want to hear our take on it, that have gone down that rabbit hole, have spoken to people who believe deeply that it was, you know, a real thing. And, you know, when I was researching it, your name came up again. And I was like, well, last episode, even though I probably should have sought your, proof.
No. It's public. It's public. It's public.
Your name's come up again. I'm going to ask you myself. Do you know what I mean? Because
I understand, but let me, here's the weird thing. Is like the people that reacted the strongest against the Ong's Hat stuff were the people that believed it, and they were certain that I either was lying about it being, a project, or that I should be like chastised for ever having done it. Okay, fine. The people from the John Titor thing that reacted the strongest to me were the people who were John Titor debunkers, who had built a case and that my story doesn't fit into their case. And so they got very vicious about it because I've already proved this wrong. It's Larry Faber or Larry Haber, whatever the hell his name is. And Joe Mattini, him. He's a pathological liar. Like, you know, and then they were giving out and back then I had a public LinkedIn because I'm a business person, or used to be. And they gave out my public LinkedIn. So I had people showing up on my LinkedIn page, which is, I keep my life separate. Like I have a professional life and I have an artistic life, you know? And so people were showing up on my LinkedIn, like saying all kinds of crazy shit. And but it was not from people that believed in John Titor. It was from people that said that they had debunked it and my story was bullshit. If you can get your head around that.
Yeah, well, that's just small-minded attitudes, isn't it? So.
Well, yeah. But I mean, basically, they're being, I don't know, careerist kind of, like they're like, oh, I've already debunked that, and I'm the one who knows everything. So, like, if I didn't say that Joe Matheny was involved, he's not involved. And so I'm like, okay, sure, you know better than me. You were there. I don't remember you being there, but yeah, sure, you were there
on the wall.
So basically, I was like, I'm going to wrap this thing up. And my buddies were big Art Bell fans, right? And I don't know if you're familiar with Art Bell, but
Coast to Coast back then.
I've heard of it. Not really big over here, I don't think.
Okay, in the 90s, it was huge. It was really that, and the X Files were the thing in the United States that were like UFO paranormal entertainment. And I admit that I listened to Art's stuff a lot because, you know, he was funny, and you could tell sometimes he totally didn't believe the people he was talking to, but he would humor them, you know? And so, like, you'd get to hear some really far-out tales because he'd let them go. He'd just let them run, you know? And this was at that time, the radio show was like 20 million people listening a night worldwide. It's a big show, you know? And so he had, like, you know, Bob Lazar and John Lear, like, all the nutcases, like, that I love. Because I've always been a fan of this, like, far fringe conspiracy wacko stuff, but I've never been a believer, but I've always been a fan of it, you know, because I come from the Discordian world.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah,
that's our entertainment. So they said to me, They're like, Art's been spending a lot of time on the, because he had a forum back then. He's like, he's been a lot of time on the forum asking time travelers to contact him. I'm like, really? I've noticed he does that on the radio show too. He'd be like, line number 4 is open tonight for time travelers. And then people would call in and just let me like, and be like, oh, I'm a time traveler. He was like some dude from Tennessee. And he would, and Art would indulge them and let them tell their story. And I thought that was wonderful, you know? So they're like, we want to create a time traveler that can engage him, like really make him believe that we're the time traveler. And I'm like, yeah, I'm down with that. So, I mean, I didn't run the project, but I did contribute a lot of the thinking and the belief systems around John. Like, I kind of like did a profile of him, and I gave a lot of the political stuff, and I gave a lot of the time travel theory stuff, and like I contributed a bunch of like talking points. And then there was like two people basically that were talking as John online on the forums. And they faxed, somebody did a fax. One of them did a fax because I said, because I'd been on Coast to Coast. And they're like, how did you get on Coast to Coast? I'm like, I sent him a fax and he called me. They're like, oh, okay. Is it that easy? I'm like, yeah. So they faxed him. And sure enough, he started talking about that fax on Coast to Coast. And I'm like, you guys are in. That's it. You're golden. You got it. And so that turned into, you know, like mostly it happened on forums. And it was mostly the Art Bell's forums, the Coast to Coast forum. But actually, I think it was called Art. It wasn't called Coast to Coast at that time, but they were, the whole story played out as a character talking to Art and other people on the forums as a time traveler, which I thought was fantastic piece of theater, you know, and it was conceived as such. We're all like theater and film people that are in this group. So I'd say around, I'm guessing, but I think it was like right after 9/11, I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And they're like, yeah, well, it doesn't feel right to be doing this kind of stuff right now because, you know, the world's upside down. And so we all stopped doing it. And then we started noticing that John started to appear on the forums again. And we're like, huh, is that you? No. Is that you? No, that's not me. Huh, interesting. Somebody picked up the thing and they're going to run with it. Let him go, you know? So that, and then we just kind of let it go.
So John Titor got hijacked, basically.
Well, we didn't think of it as such at that time. We're like, oh, somebody's going to carry it on, you know? Because it was kind of like, it was never conceived of as a commercial project. It was like, we're going to create this thing. We're going to create this myth on the internet and we're going to disappear. And then there'll always be this story that people will tell. You know, remember that time you have on Art Bell's forum, you know, and I never thought it would go where it went.
Well, I guess that's one of the problems with starting this sort of thing, isn't it?
It took a lifetime to find the person you want to marry. Finding the perfect engagement ring is a lot easier. At BlueNile.com, you can find or design the ring you've always dreamed of with help from Blue Nile's jewelry experts who are on hand 24/7 to answer questions and the ease and convenience of shopping online. For a limited time, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
That it can snowball out of control. And obviously, yeah, you were one of the guys that started it and obviously have left it to just grow as it will.
Yeah, and I was totally fine with that anime. I'm like, that's what we kind of wanted. We wanted a legend to be born, right? A modern legend. And it did. It got born. And so I was okay with like all, like there were independent film people trying to make movies about John, like all this stuff was happening. And I'm like, yeah, because none of it was like big Hollywood stuff happening. It was all like independent. I'm like, I'm totally cool with independent people grabbing stuff off the internet and using it. I'm good with that. And then all of a sudden, that book appeared. that Larry wrote. And I'm going to say Larry wrote it. I don't know, but he was at least involved in the production of it. Him and his brother, I think. And I looked it up, and his brother, I think, is an entertainment attorney in Florida, or was.
Yeah.
And his brother is something. And I saw them selling a book, and I read the book, and I'm like, you know, I'm not okay with this. I'm really not okay with this, because they're kind of like taking advantage of the, and then at the same time that was happening, you know, my friend was feeding me all this information from the conspiracy underground that there were people that legitimately believed this was like a real thing. And they were like way too far into it and treating it like a religion. And I'm like, you know, I'm not okay with any of this. So like, I called up my buddies and I'm like, if you're not going to go public, I want your permission to go public. I'm going to say that I was part of it. I won't give your names out, but somebody needs to go forward and say this was a project, this was a fiction, and that people that are basing their life on this and, like, you know, getting land and, like, you know, I heard about people that were buying land in places that were going to be, you know, spared the coming apocalypse, all based on what John had been saying, you know, and I was like, what? No, that we can't let this happen. So I at least have to say and put it out there, this is fiction. Okay? If you choose to believe this, you're on your own.
Well, that's what we're doing with this episode of our podcast, basically. Is, cool. You know, trying to spread the truth and get to the bottom of it. Really? Well, I don't think we'll get to the...
I don't think there's a bottom to get to, dude, because I think we did what we did. I think other people did it afterwards. I think Larry probably was one of them, but not the only one.
No, it might be someone completely different now.
There's been different people doing John online for a long time. And I can always tell when they're slightly different people because you can tell by their writing style.
Yeah, I guess you would. Yeah, if you've been following them that long.
Yeah. And that's what convinced me about 10 years ago, just like do a couple interviews and go kind of like, you know, live, like, here it is, people, believe it or not. And of course, you know, the haters jumped on board really quickly, and I'm like, okay, fine, I'm done talking about this. I said what I had to say. My conscience is clean. You guys go on and do whatever you're doing. And of course they did. What I said didn't stop anybody. I mean, like the John thing, you know, has died down. And so that's why I don't talk about it publicly anymore, because like I don't see people talking about it online in any other way other than this was obviously somebody doing a project and they want to find out who it is. Okay, if they have nothing better to do with their lives, that's fine. They can do that. Personally, I think that ruins it when you like try to puncture the mystery, because you're probably not going to figure it out anyway, but you're going to think you did.
Yeah, like we said before, the mystery's deeper than anybody can fathom by this point, isn't it? So,
well, dude, there's so many people that probably were involved in this that, I mean, you're never going to know who they all were and who did what.
No.
Right? It's like
the stuff that I was saying to you just earlier about the early days of, like, you know, basically f***ing with Art Bell is what it was in a lot of ways. That I have to say, that's probably what it boils down to. But if you look at all of it, like how many people were involved in like how many people were posing as John online? Because I know there's a couple times where people showed up on the Art Bell forum and said they were John, and I'd look at everybody else and they'd be like, wasn't me. Like, okay. So there was always groups of people playing this game.
Yeah, so I guess it was kind of a success, really, for what you kind of envisioned. It's just that it kind of got out of hand.
It only got out of hand in the sense that there were people that tried to capitalize on it in a very cynical way, and then there were people that that believed it, like just bought it wholesale, and that's unfortunate, and really nothing I can do about that, but because. You know, I mean, dude, there are people that think that Star Wars is actually something that Lucas channeled. I have talked to those people.
Yeah, it's kind of like
to make a religion.
Yeah, kind of like the religion of Star Wars, like you mentioned earlier. There are people that get so into it that literally Jedi is their religion.
Yeah, literally. I mean, there's people that actually have it on their paperwork, like here in the United States. If they're in an accident and they go to the hospital, the religion is listed as Jedi.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, so the doctor's going to be looking around. It's like, is there a Jedi in the hospital?
And there probably will be one. So.
Anyone donate some midichlorians?
I'm okay with all that. As long as they keep it to themselves, I don't care what people believe. It's not my business, and it's all their business. Just don't shove it down my throat or anybody else's. That's when I have a problem with it.
Yeah, same here, really. Same here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, religion, that's religion for me. It's like, what works for you, and it doesn't have to work for everybody else.
Exactly. We say the same thing all the time on the show. You do you, and yeah.
Yeah. I listened to your show. I liked it. That's why I said I have no problem with what you guys did. It was perfect. It was a good balance of, like, this is what happened, what we think happened, and, you know, or maybe it's all real. You know, it's like, I love it. I do that all the time, dude. It's like,
well, thank you for talking to me about it and sharing some of these facts for our listeners at least to absorb.
Well, you know, I mean, it's in the big picture, we achieved what we set out to achieve, create a modern myth.
Yeah.
But that was my goal with Ong's Hat too, and I think I achieved that as well.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But the fact that we have to step in and moderate it, we have to break the fourth wall and say, you do understand that this is fiction. That's kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
It kind of ruins it.
The other thing is maybe you did too good a job in the first place, you know, that people take it so seriously. I don't know.
Well, dude, did you see Princeton? There's a thing at the Princeton University website that says the fiction of Ong's Hat is too good to not be true or something. Like, somebody wrote a whole dissertation about the fact that it was too good.
I can believe it, yeah.
I didn't, when you're writing fiction, I didn't know there is such a thing as being too believable. I thought that was the goal.
Yeah. Yeah, some would say that is the exact goal, yeah.
To take you out of your life, take you out of your day to day, put you into this world, and let you absorb and experience that world for a given amount of time.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah, escape from reality.
But then when we got to wherever we are now, which, you know, which is what allows things like QAnon and David Icke to exist, and the fact that all these people will believe it and follow it, you have to, like, scratch your head and say, do I even want to write fiction anymore?
Yeah, well, it's a shame that the business has come to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's an art as far as I'm concerned, but the
art, yeah. Yeah, your performance, yeah.
I just have a thing about, like, referring to art as business, because, you know, anyway, I think this is in a lot of ways it's a turning point for the arts. It really is. It's like, I think a lot of people like me are going to bow out. I'm working on a book, like, you're probably like this. I'm working on a book about the history of the Ong's Hat Project. I'm like, I'm telling the whole story from beginning to end, because so many people have approached me, because I've done a lot of interviews in the last 10 years, and so many people have approached me with, like, these wacky ideas, and I'm like, where did you get that idea? You know, and they're like, well, it just seems to me that's what it is. And they're just telling it like it's fact. And I'm like, I just went through this thing last year where I worked with these other writers on this project, and I thought these people understood that we were going to do a piece of fiction that was like another kind of an addendum chapter to the Ong's Hat story. And I ended up getting into big arguments with these people because they had ideas about what I was doing with the project. And when I said that's not what I was doing, they argued with me about it.
Right.
No, that's totally what you were doing, man. I'm like, I just told you that's not what I was doing. No, that's what you were doing. I'm like, so you're calling me a liar? Like, we had to get into these kind of conversations about my life and the facts of my life and the facts of my art because they had built up a whole belief system. And these weren't even conspiracy theorists. These were just like supposedly fellow artists that had like built up this whole belief system around what I had done. And they were like, well, we read such and such online that you did that. And I'm like, yeah, but I never said I did that. In fact, I'm telling you, I didn't do that. Oh, no. So-and-so said you did. I'm like, so-and-so wasn't part of the project. I'm telling you, I didn't do that. That's not what my intention was. And so like, I got into these like circular arguments with people about something I shouldn't have to argue about.
Yeah, and it's no wonder that you got fed up of, like you say, doing interviews and stuff, because like people just aren't believing you when you're the OP, you know?
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, and even people that are supposedly, and probably the worst, this is the thing, the people that were the worst at this were like professional journalists.
Yeah.
Like they came into this with they built a story up in their head, and that's the story they were going to tell. And the only reason I was there is to get sound bites. I realized that after a while, I'm like, I'm not even here to tell the story. I'm here to give you sound bites to tell a story you've already written in your head.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be journalism.
And it's uh-huh. It's clickbait is what it is. they got you on yeah. for. Yeah. You know, yeah, they got that clickbait.
Clickbait, and it's also careerism. Like, you know, like they're like, oh, I see a good story I could tell with this. Get him in here so I can get the sound bites to tell that story. I didn't even realize when I started that there were people I had to be worried about, but there are. I know that now. But at the time in 99, 2000, we didn't know. We didn't know there were people wandering around on this new thing called the internet that had to be spoon-fed, you know? Here's your art. Oh, by the way, that's fiction. Here's your art. Oh, by the way, that's fiction. Like the way I explained this to somebody once was like, if you had to read 20 pages in the beginning of Alice in Wonderland explaining to you why this was fiction, very unenjoyable for you to read Alice in Wonderland after that. It's like it would suck.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Of course, yeah. Well, thanks for coming to talk to me. I'm going to shoot off because I've got to get some dinner. But yeah, thank you very much.
Oh, yes, the other time of the day for you.
Yeah, of course, it's still morning for you, so yeah. I hope you have a...
Yeah, afternoon, but yeah.
No, yeah, morning. Jesus, still 10:44. So, yeah, soundbite me. Go ahead and soundbite me. I hope you guys all the luck in the world with doing this, but I would say you probably want to look into the Larry Haber thing. From what I can tell, he at least tried to sell a book out of it. So
yeah, you know. That's fair enough. Yeah.
No.
Oh yeah. No. Oh, there we go. Hello.
Yeah, I swapped headphones. I think my Bluetooth died while we were talking.
Ah, right. Okay.
Probably ran out of charge. Yeah. So I'd look into Larry. I think he had something to do with it, and he at least sold the book. He did sell the book for a while, and we know that. Because he claimed, the other thing that kind of pissed me off is he claimed to be in touch with John's family.
Right, yeah.
He was writing it on behalf of the estate, and the money was going to the John Teeter estate, and I'm like, dude, come on.
Right, well, for me, the whole John Teeter story kind of breaks the rules of time travel 101 anyway.
Right.
I mean, you know, the name was even the dude. The name was even a joke. I'm sure you figured out where the name came from, right?
No, I didn't. No,
John Connor.
John. Oh, fair enough. Yeah, Terminator. Yeah.
Yeah, John Teeter, John Connor.
Yeah, John Teeter. Yeah. Oh, fair play. Yeah, very clever.
I'm here to kill you, John Teeter.
I mean, the fact that we're talking about this 20 plus years later is amazing to me.
It's a success, and probably not the way that you hoped it would be.
It is and it isn't. That's what I mean. It's bittersweet. It's like it did everything in one sense that we wanted it to do, which is like become a legend, a modern legend.
can we create a modern legend? Because we were like, you know, this is how legends start anyway. It's like, you know, some dude like picks up a rock and he throws it and it skips five times on a river. And then 100 years later, it skipped a million times and it knocked a god off a pedestal. You know, that's how it goes. That's how it works.
Well, thank you, Joseph.
Okay.
I promise I won't mince your words. I'm going to have to edit this a little bit because obviously 50 minutes now nearly. But I won't
make sure that you had the whole story from my side, because it sounded to me like you hadn't heard it. And there's like two or three places where I gave this kind of interview that we just had before in print. And I think once or twice I did it in audio. Who knows if it's still around, because it was like a long time ago. Yeah, I don't hate the whole story. I just wish it had been just left alone like it was supposed to be. I don't mind people talking about it in forums and stuff. It's just when people are trying to do weird things with it, that's when I get a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's totally understandable. Yeah, it's your creation, so you would feel like that, wouldn't you?
I don't want to be contributing to anything that's turning into something like QAnon turned into, which was, you know, a shit show over here. You have no idea how many friends I lost over that, dude. Like, people that I never suspected fell down that hole.
Yeah, well, it can happen.
During the pandemic, people lost their f***ing minds.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
All right, friend. You have a good one.
Yeah, you too, Joseph. Thank you very much for your time.
Yep. Wish you all the luck.
Yeah, thank you, mate. We'll see you again.
Bye.
Okay, so... That was the interview with Joe Matheny. I was lucky to get that interview.
Hell yeah, you were.
Very lucky. Obviously, he came in quite hot. He didn't like me using the word baited in my email. I think that's what sort of got me that interview, that scored me that interview. So thank you so much, Joseph Matheny, for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Obviously, we've just watched the full version.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to edit that down for the full episode, so what you have listened to or watched on YouTube just now will be an edited version. I will put the full, uncut, uncensored, because he does drop a few F-bombs, I'll put that onto our Patreon, but it will be a free-to-watch video. The only thing that you may have to do, I don't even know if you have to do that, is to create a free account to watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, on Patreon, there's obviously, you can become a free member or you can become a paid member. I'm going to put this up for the free members, so absolutely anybody can watch it. We're not censoring it in any way. Mm-hmm. I want people to be able to see that interview.
Yeah, that was a great interview. Great interview.
Because obviously... Joseph himself, whether this is in the part that it ends up in the podcast, he said that people before have come to him where they've already got an idea of what they're going to say. They just want him to provide that clickbait, you know, put his name to it, and he's just been soundbited. They've, you know, ripped apart what he's actually said and just made it fit their narrative.
Yeah,
and I want to be clear that I'm not doing that.
No.
I have found him because I feel that he is the closest I can get to the original creator. You know, him and his friends, they were the original creators of John Titor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my goal, right? If Larry Haber or whoever it is that has carried it on, that's separate, really, to the original story, to the original intentions of the whole John Titor thing.
He actually ended it in 2001, didn't
yes,
he?
Yes.
So he was only a part of the original year and a bit of the story.
Yeah. Like I said, everything else was from 2003 onwards when this John Titor Foundation came up. And like he said, quite possibly it was Larry Haber that published that book, you know, under this whole John Titor Foundation organization. And whether they managed to get that off the shelves or, you know, for whatever other reasons, but that book is no longer available, which I think is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
So, tell you what, look, Josh, why don't you have at it for a couple of minutes? What did you take from that?
First of all, I like him even more now.
Yeah.
I already liked the guy because I feel like he's got a really good sense of humor, but I really connect with the message he was saying about he's just an artist.
Yeah.
He's an author. He's an artist.
That's the thing. Again, I referred to it at one point as a business, and he disagreed with that.
Mm-hmm.
Art can be a business, but this was not for profit.
No.
They weren't doing this as a commercial project. It was just something that they thought, this would be a fun thing to do.
Yeah, and I love that. I think that is amazing. And I think he said it as well, the fact that we're still talking about it 20 years later.
Yeah, and nearly 24 years later.
Yeah, it's a credit to him and the people that he had with him to create such a amazing story.
And convincing.
Even
apart
on his hat,
from the double singularity.
Which
put me off right from the start, which is why I was always on. You got the East West, East Bank and the West Bank, you know, the believers, the non-believers, and I was always one of the non-believers. I was like, nah, it's a hoax. But that was just because of my. They did a really good job of the science, sci-fi stuff. But for me, it wasn't quite believable enough,
mm-hmm.
which is why I was always on that. Right, I want to find the bottom of this.
Yeah, and even with the Yong's hat story, it's just incredible storytelling from start to finish.
Oh, it is, yeah.
So I just really like the guy. I think he's awesome. And after seeing that interview that you've done with him, I've got nothing but great things to think and say about him.
Same here, mate, same here. It was a very intense conversation at the time.
I understand that.
He came in hot because he just thought I was another schmo that was trying to have a run at him or whatever.
Which I understand.
I after I sort of explained to him that I'm on his side, I want to tell his story. I think he warmed to me.
Yeah, towards the end, he was laughing and joking. He was having a good time with you. But I do get why it almost triggered him at the start, but. I get it, man. Like, if you've come out, and we said this with Ong's hat, if you're coming out and you're saying, I've made these stories up, and I don't want other people to get hurt and have their lives ruined because, you know, similar things happen to him,
mm-hmm.
and he's generally going in it with good intentions and with a good heart, and then to still have people call him a liar and say that it's so good, it has to be real and stuff. How many more times can you scream from the rooftops? Like, I made this up. I was part of a team. Like, this was an artistic piece. It was like theater, you know. And he mentioned Star Wars, so he's obviously a fan of movies and that.
I think science fiction and that sort of thing. Yeah. He was very big into his ARGs, alternate reality games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's what these were. Ong's hat and John Titor, they were an alternate reality game. He was just trying to, like he said, give birth to a legend.
And it kind of shows you how it goes with other conspiracy theories, doesn't it? We mentioned it before, but there's certain conspiracy theories that you can give them all the evidence in the world. And say, look, we've debunked it, we've disproved it. This isn't real.
Going back to flat earthers now, aren't you?
But even then, when he mentioned David Icke with like reptilians and stuff, that could be a similar thing where someone's just made the story up of reptilians, and people have run with it, and there's firm believers in it.
Yeah,
but
that won't hear any other theory other than.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what you say. And in this case, it's different because you've got one of the sources telling you this is made up. Like, this isn't real. Like, don't buy it. Like, you're getting too sucked in. You're going down that rabbit hole, and I'm scared for you. Get out of it. And he's still getting people saying, no, this is real. So, that would trigger me, to be honest.
This week, for one time only, I'm putting this to two different paranormality scales.
Mm-hmm.
Right. One, do you believe the John Titor is a time traveler?
No, not at all.
You're giving that 0 out of 10.
I'm giving it a complete zero.
Zero out of 10. Yeah. Right. So how much do you like the story and the legend that has been created? This is going to be our main paranormality scale, eh?
If we're chucking in how much we like Joseph Matheny as well, it's going to be higher because I really do appreciate the art. And it's actually really skillful.
It is.
It really is. Like, it's talent. You know, I can't explain it any other way.
It's very clever. It's
very smart. He's an intelligent
very
guy.
Intellectual.
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to come up with all that.
Yeah. I'm giving it a 9.7, man.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I really am. Like you said, the actual story, the fact that there was no predictions that were right and everything, he has said it is made up.
Yeah.
That's a zero, but...
The legend that has become John Titor.
20 years later, what this has snowballed into. I mean,
we've still got people asking us to cover this because they're not sure if it's real or not.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And I actually feel bad for Joseph and the stuff that some of the stuff that he went through.
Yeah.
That's not cool. People dragging his name through the mud and trying to get sound bites from him and stuff. Not cool at all. But the actual snowball effect of what has happened over the last 24 years, it is impressive, and that is a credit to his storytelling. So therefore, absolutely, I'm giving it a high score of 9.7.
Well, I'll join you on that 9.7, to be honest.
Yeah, so credit to him,
because I really enjoyed everything that I've covered with Joseph Matheny's work, his art, and getting to actually speak to the guy, you know, even though he didn't really want to start with. I think it's a really amazing thing that he's created there. And even though it got a little bit out of control for him, and he's had to sort of try and reel it in from various points where it's, you know, been taken on by people that didn't want to take it down the route that he wanted to take it. He's had to sort of reel it back in. I mean, credit to the guy
for
doing that.
Can I just make a little point here as well? It kind of shows you how, with certain apps, maybe whether it's TikTok or things like that, you should always do a little bit more research or take things with a pinch of salt.
Yeah.
This is a prime example.
Anything you read online, you should take with a pinch of salt.
Yes, but especially when it is a lot of people and the younger generation, not everyone, but there is a big population of people that... I am somewhat guilty of it, but I do my research, you know. Like, if I watch a TikTok video and it's cryptids, whatever it is, you know, like, look at this Bigfoot footage. I laugh and I go, well, straight away, I don't think that's real, but let me do my research. So then I'll get on Google and I'll look into it a bit more and things like that, you know, same as other true crime stories, you know, something grabs your attention. I think it's always important to research it and look into it. Don't just watch that 30-second video or get told something by someone and then just take it as truth. And this is a prime example of that. I wanted to add. So
that's fair enough.
That's all I got for you on that.
That is good. Just one other little note that I'd like to say about that interview is... I didn't know if Joe, I'm not sure if he likes being called Joe. I wasn't sure if he was going to even allow me to put that on the podcast, which is why I didn't set up a microphone or headphones or anything like that. So the editing, the audio, particularly for me, is bad. I do apologise about that. I had to cut bits of me out just so that I could keep Joseph's full testimony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there. You know, I want cutting him out.
No.
You know, I'd rather cut me out. So that's why that's a little bit, you know, not quite up to our normal professional standards. But I'm very happy with that episode, Clive. I am so sorry.
Oh, Clive.
I know you're a big believer, but you know, I kind of found the creator there. There's no denying it.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that apology, I'd just like to say, well, one thing, obviously, anybody who does want to check out that entire interview, it will be uncut, uncensored. It will be on Patreon, free to watch. I'm going to make sure it is free for you to watch. The only thing you might have to do is make an account. Please go and I guess join our Patreon. To at least, you know, with a free account, so you can watch that if you're interested, because there's a lot there that Joseph said.
Yeah, very wise.
That he yeah, obviously he said that he don't do interviews anymore. I was lucky to get that interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And we appreciate that.
Really appreciate it, 100%. Yes, thank you so much, Joseph Matheny, for that. And until next week, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
So good, so good, so good. Perfect gifts? We've got them at Nordstrom Rack stores now. UGG, Nike, Barefoot Dreams, Kate Spade New York, and more. Find everything on their wish list all in one place.
Steve Madden? Yes, please.
It's perfect.
Did we just score?
The greatest gifts of all time? Yeah.
Head to your Nordstrom Rack store to score. Great brands, great prices, the greatest gifts of all time.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have zero blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas. The softest socks, underwear, and t-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.